Billy Butler.
Webster and Brew Coombe. Is it Coombe or Combs? Coombs. Coombe. Bruce Coombe. You know? Okay. Now, the reason I played that was that I'd never heard you do a cover version. So that surprised me.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite songs ever, to be honest. Talking Heads, you know,
great band.
Great band, great band. David Byrne's a great writer and a great artist in his own, you know, away from just writing songs. But yeah, I watched Stop Making Sense, which was a live sort of, it was a film of a live performance that they'd done in, it was 1984. And the version of This Must Be the Place on that was, I'd heard the song already, but when I heard that version, it just took it up a level for me. And from that moment on, really, I thought, this is one of my favourite ever songs, and I'd love to do a cover. And obviously, when I met Brooke, obviously, we were on the same management, same label and stuff like that. And she's got just an unbelievable voice, and I needed that voice to do them backing vocals. And when I had a little chat with her, and would she be up for it? Thankfully, she was. And yeah, I love it. I love playing it live. She always gets up on stage and does it with me. That's a song for me that's just, you know, I write all my songs for the people who come to see me, but that little one's just for me. And I put my guitar down, I have a little dance on the stage. It's a good moment.
Jamie Webster is my guest. He is a Liverpool phenomenon. I put on our trail, he's the biggest solo act since the Beatles. And you are. I've been 51 years on the radio. And I feel very lucky at the moment because we have got the best solo act I've seen for years and years, or listened to. And we've got the most commercial group I've heard for years in the Red Rum Club.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Red Rum Club are the most commercial band. I mean, commercial known how vast their music stretches. And you as well. We've got the best band and the best solo singer since the 60s.
Yeah, again, Red Rum, same label. And, you know, if you put them on in any party, people are going to dance, aren't they? It doesn't matter where it is. People are going to dance.
But like you, Jamie, they've got a greater understanding in the lyrics. The lyrics. Far ahead of their years.
Yeah, definitely. They're a great, great, great band, great set of lads. And they've been, like anything, it comes with hard work and craft, you know what I mean? They've been doing it a long time, like I have myself. And, you know, the longer you do it, the more you do it, the better you get. Practice makes perfect, so to speak, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's a good... It's a good moment for the city at the moment musically. There's a lot of young bands and artists making noise, and it's, you know, it's very important because it's what this city was built on, really, the football, the music and the docks. And
exactly.
You know, we need to make sure that, you know, we preserve that heritage and live up to the name of it.
Okay, I must come clean to you now, Jamie, because, I mean, I do love your music, I really do, but the real reason I asked you to come in today is, can you fix 6 plugs in my lad's bedroom? I need 6 plug sockets in my lad's bedroom.
I can fit them, but whether they'll work or not will be a different thing, really.
You were an electrician, weren't you?
I was an electrician for 9 years as soon as I left school. Obviously, my dad was an electrician when he left school, and... I wanted to follow in his footsteps and work with him, and I did that. Until we both became a pain in each other's backsides, I think. But
wouldn't have been too long.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, I don't consider myself the best musician in the world, but I'm definitely a better musician than I was an electrician. I tell you that much.
But I've talked about this with a lot of people. Ian McNabb out of
Icicle Works.
Now, Ian started off as a cabaret act with a couple of girls and himself singing. He went around all the clubs like the Montrose and all that, and then he progressed. So, and you've done that. You started doing cover versions in the clubs. You were in the band that didn't work, so you started doing cover versions in clubs.
Yeah,
and when you're an electrician and you add up money in the clubs, at least it's earning something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. It was for a time in my life, actually, probably I'd say like between the ages of like maybe 21 and 23, 24. I was always on the go. Don't be wrong, I was working 5 days a week, and then Friday night I'd go to the slaughterhouse and set up there and play there, and then Saturday morning I'd go to one of my mates' house to wire a few plugs in for him.
Yeah.
Saturday night, if I wasn't at the match or I wasn't playing at the match, I'd be playing in another pub. Sunday morning, work again. Sunday night at christening or whatever, I'd be playing, you know, parties. But I never wanted for anything because I always had money in my pocket, and I always had somewhere to go and somewhere, you know, people to go with. And so, you know, always give me mates somewhere to go when I was playing.
So that's the question I wanted to ask you, because when you were brought up, you were doing well. But you seem to have an insight into people who didn't have what you've got.
Yeah, well, I've always said, as you'll probably know, like, you know, my interviews, I'm not this person who'll sit here and say, I didn't have anything growing up. It was hard growing up in my, it wasn't hard growing up in my house. I was very lucky. And, you know, my mum and dad, you know, they worked as hard as they possibly could to give me, my brother and my sister, the things that they didn't have when they were growing up. And that's what I want to do for my children. I think that's what everyone should always do. You should always try and better your kids' situation.
But you have such an insight into people who didn't have what you've got.
Yeah, well, obviously, I've got friends, you know what I mean? Yeah. We are in Liverpool and, you know, I've got a lot of friends from a lot of different areas and a lot of different backgrounds in the city. And, you know, you don't have to look too far to see someone who's less fortunate than you. Unfortunately, you don't have to look too far. And, you know, even people who I don't know, you could take a walk around the city now and you could, you know, you can pick these people out, really. And you know, people who don't have a voice and they've never had a voice and they've got no one speaking for them. And, you know, the government aren't going to do it for, especially this government aren't going to do it for them.
Definitely.
And, you know, not that I'm not a politician. I can't change the world. I can't change how people think. But if I can enlighten a few people to what's actually going on and enlighten a few people to what they can actually do with their lives, then, you know, it's a positive thing.
Do any of your mates ever say to you, is that song about me?
A couple of them have, over the years, and some of them have been, you know what I mean? I always remember Weekend in Paradise, and I always used to say to one of my mates, it's about you, Dad, because he was a real party animal. He used to say, you're a cheeky get you. I've never lent money off anyone, because it says it all the times you lend.
Okay, but, here's one of those songs that does it.
Lives in a North End terraced house near the council estate. He makes windows and doors. And though his friends and means to end, so how he often thinks of getting out, like his mother did near 18 years before. Of going on a mission to the USA. He wants to sing and dance and act on those Broadway shows. If he should speak again, the verdict's saved for another day. For a North End kid like him, that's how it goes. To heaven, in his head and shuts his eyes. When he sees the sunshine on his face, sees the winners a completely different place, where he can find himself a lover and have a kid to its base. With his music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet. Tommy's dad's a marine, soldier dead as it seems, rather hard sometimes. And the anger builds from those lethal blows he took. If he's to go out at night, he'll get caught in a fight in a bar sometimes. Another North End kid, another shit out of luck. Then he goes home and takes that medicine, goes to heaven in his head and shuts his eyes. When he sees the sunshine on his face, the winner's a completely different place, where he can find himself a lover and have a kid to its base. Where there's music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet.
sees the sunshine on his face, sees the world as a completely different place, where he can find himself a lover and have a kitchen with space, where there's music in the streets, the crowds are throwing roses at his feet. And then he pulls away the covers and readies for another couple days in the real world, struggling to make ends meet.
North End Kid by my guest, Jamie Webster. One of your favourite songs, we're saying, Jamie.
Yeah, I think it's the, out of all my songs, it's the one I'm most proud of, I'd say, like, sonically, you know, to listen to, and also the story and the sentiment, it's quite a powerful one. Oh. So, yeah, that was when I wrote that. You write songs, and when you're writing certain songs, you know that, like, oh, this is, I'm onto a good one here, you know, and you get a feeling, and I definitely got that. I got goosebumps as I was writing that song.
Goosebumps listening to it. As I said, my first reaction when I first played that was, what a production.
Yeah.
Because the strings came in just at the right time. It enveloped the poignancy of it. It gave you the meaning of, and the emotion of it as well. Yeah. You know, especially the bit about taking your medicine and going to a land where you're admired, you're admired, you have flowers at your feet, as you said, and then you wake up the next day and it's reality.
Yeah,
again.
Reality. It's like coming back from a holiday,
and
isn't
the
it?
Strings enhance that feeling.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to work with Dave Ehringer on that album, and he's who I'm working with on my new album that I'm working on right now. But he's a great producer, and he's been in the game a long time, and he's worked with some big acts. He's worked with Tom Jones, he's worked with Kylie Minogue, he's worked with The Who, he's worked with the Manic Street Preachers. Yeah. He's a real, you
not
know,
bad.
No, not bad at all. And he's a proper, to say the least. And I'm just so lucky that I've been able to learn from him, you know, about production and songs and music. And just that, you know, 2 weeks I spent with him in Rockfield doing my second album, I walked away from there a better musician and a better writer just from being with him and listening to what he had to say and watching the way he approached things. And yeah, it's people, you know, I think producers are the unsung heroes really of you know, definitely, the music industry, as well as, you know, crews from the live industry and stuff like that. But I think in terms of listening to a record, you know, fortunately for me, the artist gets all the credit, but a lot of the time there's a great band behind them and an even better producer making it, tying it all in.
Well, you took a massive step because you built up your fandom on the back of Liverpool football supporters and football supporters, and you were doing really, really well. And you could have stuck to doing football songs.
I could have done.
But you decided, and it was a massive step, Jamie, because people were coming to see you because of the football gear. And so when you went into the studio to make an album, you obviously made a decision there and then, nothing to do with football, this is Jamie Webster's songs.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, I've been really grateful for what the football thing does for me and done for me. But at the end of the day, this has been a dream I've had since I was a, you know, a little lad, and I first picked up the guitar. I wanted to sing songs on a, you know, on a massive scale about, not about football, about real life that affected everyone. And as soon as I drop a Liverpool song into one of them sets, then I'm all of a sudden I'm being exclusive to Liverpool fans. Mm. And, you know, I want to be inclusive to everyone. And this is a big city full of amazing people that, you know, some of them don't like football at all. Some of them like Everton, some of them like Liverpool, some of them could like different teams, you know, that the families from other places have been, you know, passed down to them. And look, if they're nice, good people, the last thing I want them to do is feel alienated, do you know what I mean? And feel like my music's not for them. And
still a big step. And
it is.
Wow, did it succeed? Because those football fans loved Jamie Webster without the football songs. Number 3 in the charts, I think it went. You know, and I mean, at the moment, you're prolific. You've done 2 albums in 3 years. People don't do that. They have 3 years between albums. But something you said before, which I will echo, this is your skill, Jamie. To me, this is your skill. I've always said that a charity record, no matter how great the charity is, will not sell unless it's melodic and you can understand it. You know, just because it's a charity record, people don't buy it. They buy it for the song that goes with the charity record. And you've got the skill of writing songs with a message, but the melody takes away you know, having to really get deep into it, but it adds to it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think, you know, my two biggest influences, you know, lyrically, is Bob Dylan is my biggest influence, hands down. Do you know what I mean? He was the one who made me realise that it was possible when I was about 14 or 15. But melodically, Paul McCartney, there's no one better. Do you know, he's the king of melody. He always has been, he always will be. No one will ever have a natural instinct or knack for melody like he did. Do you know what I mean? It does. It's amazing. So
the default is sometimes the melody takes your attention off the lyrics.
Yeah, I know, and that's it. But I think my sort of aim is always to try and combine the best of both worlds. And obviously, I'm not sitting here saying I am the next McCartney / Dylan. I'm just sat here saying I try and incorporate what they've taught me into my music. And, you know, I'm just so lucky that people see it for what it is and people resonate with it, you know, because that, you know, it's all well and good me writing these songs, but if I've got no one no one in the room singing them back to me and no one buying them, no one listening to
which
them.
Which is what they do. As I said, I went to Isuzu and Brooke at the college, and they sang every word of their songs, and you're saying that's what you love, the people know your songs.
Well, that's why you do it. It's like you say, it's a song not sung in voice. It's just, you know, it's nice to listen to, I suppose. But, you know, when you want to take it outside of a studio or outside of your earphones and actually, you know, be social with it.
But you are a phenomenon in pop music, whether you like to deny it or not. Nobody can get in the top five of the album charts like you have. And nobody can sell as many albums as you have. And nobody can sell out arenas and the Pier Heads for two nights soon without any radio play. That's why I feel proud of the station. We've stuck with you. We've stuck with Red River, with the Red Drum Band. And you've done it basically with no radio play, no television outlets.
No, and that's why I'm here, you know, because I know that you've supported me and likewise, so has your league and stuff like that. You know, the support from within the city has always been absolutely, you know, first class and heartwarming, do you know what I mean? And I always will give back to that sort of thing. But yeah, in terms of the national radio play, I don't know what's happening there, but
you're getting there without them. That's an incredible thing.
Well, with this next album that I've got, that I'm working on at the minute, there's some songs there that if they don't get the national radio play, then, you know, there's obviously an agenda somewhere along the line. And, you know, I'll be calling that out.
I mean, there's no swear words.
There's no swear words. There's no swear words, definitely not.
And okay, let's hear this one, Jamie.
Okay.
Because the man said to stay inside. He's had a stinker of a week on the 9 to 5. Needed somewhere to go where the answer is not the knocking. There's another letter on the doorstep. Somehow it always lands with a first class stamp delivery. Out in the wind and the rain, like a trolley in the street.
My guest, Jamie Webster, Going Out. The two things about that song I want to talk to you about, Jamie. First of all, change the bucket. What did you mean by that?
Kick the bucket.
Oh, I thought you said change the bucket.
No, kick the bucket. So it's about, like, that song's about, obviously, there was lockdown, there was COVID, and we were told everyone had to, put their lives on hold, stay inside, do this, do that, which most people did for the most part, and apart from the government. But what struck me was when people were actually allowed to go out and restrictions were eased, young people were getting blamed for just going out and doing what they were told to go and do. And it's just a song for the young people in the pandemic, really, who were, just being told to put their lives on hold and expected not to be frustrated, expected to just deal with it while other, the people who were telling them this went out. And
well, let me tell you what it did for me, Jamie, listening to that. It made me, it just took me back to how good it was going out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that before. You know, it really took me back to how enjoyable it was Saturday night, pressing your trousers, getting your shirt ready, phoning your mates, meeting them somewhere. Now, I haven't had that. I mean, I still feel great going out with my mates and everything. But at that age, 18 to 20 odd, it was the excitement of it is in that song.
Yeah, and that's definitely it. That's what I was trying to capture. And I think what was definitely lost for a lot of people in that age bracket was that it's an important part of your life, that those years, because you learn who you are. It's not so much you're not learning about how to count to 10 or, how to do a job or whatever. You're learning about who you are. And I think, to have them years took away from you it's criminal, really. Do you know what I mean? Or, when you look back at it, it is. And my brother falls into that bracket. He's 18 now. So he just sort of left senior school, and I remember the summer that I left senior school. Do you know what I mean? It was one of the best summers of my life. Do you know what I mean? And his was sort of took away from him because he couldn't go out. And there's no wonder that there's a lot of kids that are a bit socially, not awkward, but unaware of how to act now when they're going out into town.
Yeah,
and that's why we're having all these problems in the city, because I'm not blaming it all on the pandemic. What I'm saying is because a lot of the young people weren't allowed to go out and learn how to be young people.
And they over-celebrate.
Yeah, 2 years later, they go out and it's all guns blazing and, that's...
Now, let me tell you about the line that confused me. I thought you said, change the bucket.
Oh, yeah, no. Aging and waiting to kick the bucket. So it's like, why are we sat here basically waiting to just add years onto our lives before?
Let me tell you why I got the wrong feeling. Because when I was a kid in West Derby Road, we never had an indoor toilet.
You have to empty the bucket down.
So we had a bucket upstairs. Now, the bucket was upstairs because you couldn't go down the back of the yard in the dark in your bare feet. So we'd do it in the bucket. And your mum would sometimes say to you, we've got somebody coming today, make sure you change the bucket. You understand what I mean?
Maybe I should have said change the bucket.
That's going back too far.
Yeah.
Jamie, it's been great talking to you.
Ah, Billy, it's been a pleasure.
Continued success.
Thank you very much.
My mum used to play the guitar as well.
Oh.
Continued success. Good luck at the pier head.
Thanks, mate. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's been a pleasure to share the studio with the legends of, Merseyside, Liverpool Radio. It's an absolute pleasure, Billy. Thank you very much.
And I love the line. I'm going to play We Get By Now. I love that line about the stairs in the landing are in a mess.
That's about my mate's house. he bought a new house and it took him ages to do it up. We laugh about it now, he knows it's about that. But every time I'd say to him, how's your house coming on, lad? Go, it's getting there. The stairs and landing are still a mess. The stairs and landing still need sorting out. And that's where I've dropped it into the song.
Right, so you got a private gig coming up, I think, to do with the Eurovision.
Might do. Whoever's lucky enough, if it comes in.
Write the song. Thank you so much, Jamie Webster, my guest.
Thanks, Billy.
The rave is all swinging in a land of dreams, inspired by magic beans, and all the squares are filled with despair, but all the little dancing feet don't seem to care. To the ones who go straight to the boozer as soon as they end work, because the boss's son's a novice and he's driving all of the lads berserk. Three's done for a week's graft,
And sometimes I get it cash in hand, bosses leasing a Bentley, still probably cost them $100,000. $100,000. Gyro check. Late days beyond Walton Breck. Bills come out to midnight and you're left with a score, just like last week and all those times before. Though we still have our moments, those bits of happiness, even though the boiler's broken and the stairs and landing are a mess, won't ever be beaten. Roll on in your Bentley, because for now I think I'm happy on the bus.